Welcome to Man Overboard. 50 ain't nothing but a number, yo. With your host, Language Barrel. Sponsored by The Wolf's Pact. America's by invitation only men support, friendship, and networking group. Where the one become many and the many become one. Here, they put the man back in human. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's show. On today's show, we'll be talking about graduate school, the recent presidential election in the U.S., my upcoming dental tourism trip, the COVID-19 pandemic, and the potential vaccines. And lastly, I'll be giving you an update on the international dating scene, or my international dating scene. Prepare for a bumpy ride. Stick. And stay. Buongiorno, buenos dias, bonjour, guten Morgen, and good morning. This is week two in graduate school, fall semester two, and wanted to talk briefly about some of the things that transpired during week two. First of all, I missed a quiz. The quiz was scheduled to be turned in before Saturday night. I thought it was Sunday, mistakenly for some reason, so I missed the quiz and will probably take a zero for that quiz in that class for this week. Which means I will have to work extra hard to make up for that grade. The week before, I actually turned in the discussion question late. So I ended up getting half credit for the discussion question. And lastly, I turned in a case review for my small business and family enterprise class and did not realize how poorly I had done on the project. Until I had the fortune to review some other projects by my classmates. One of the projects for this week is you had to review your classmates' work on that assignment and then make a comment. And then once I did that, I realized there were some gaping holes in my reference sources. So I was embarrassed by the work that I turned in. So I will have to make a concerted effort going forward to make sure that I improve the quality of my work and take graduate school more seriously. Next, we move on to the election. I won't talk too much about the election or the results, but I will say that contrary to all the talk that we hear about a divisive nation, this nation has always been divided. It was divided before the creation of the nation. There were a contingency of people who did not want to leave the crown, who were pretty satisfied under the monarchy. And obviously there were people who wanted to leave the crown. The same applies for slavery. Obviously, there were people who did not want slavery as part of the Union, the United States, or the Union of States. But there were half the states that did. So again, controversy. Same thing with the Emancipation Proclamation. You can get into equal rights, voting rights, rights for women. There's always been divisiveness in the nation. As for the people who say that things are as bad as they've ever been, those are people who don't have a very good history of America and understand the impact of slavery and the genocide of Native Americans. Things have been much worse in America. Hopefully we're due for a change. So that's all we're going to say on politics. Dating. So as I mentioned in previous podcasts, I was on two international dating sites. One membership expired. I did not renew that membership, so that membership is finished. I'm currently on the other membership, which was the membership I joined in ERA, but I signed up for 3 months, so I'm due to have this membership until December. And in, as you remember from the last episode, I had some questions about my intentions on the website, whether I would continue, how I would approach women, what my agenda would be on the website. So I decided to continue, but I decided to be very honest with women who asked me questions about my intention. And if we continue correspondence, fine. If we don't, then that's fine too. At least they have a very good understanding of my intentions. My dental tourism visit is scheduled for Cancun for the 13th of December until the 20th of December. As I mentioned, I do have my flight tickets. They are booked and paid for. My hotel reservations are also booked and paid for. I will be taking a one-day excursion from Cancun on Saturday to go to the Isle of Mujeres, again, which is really strictly like a vacation island, which is supposed to have very, very good beaches and should be a very interesting time. I mentioned when I contacted the dental site, the dental office, that I would be taking a camera along and chronicling my dental tourism visit. And so I'm still waiting to hear back from the dental office if this will be acceptable. If not, I'll just chronicle my visit, but I won't do any of that in the dental office. Once I get the actual bills and costs of the various procedures, I will, in fact, present that information on the podcast and compare it to the information that I got from local dentists and from research of my own about the approximate cost to have two crowns done and an implant put in. And I'll compare that obviously against the costs for the Cancun visit. COVID-19. There is some fear and trepidation, obviously, about acquiring it, and mainly because I don't want to acquire it before my dental visit, because if I do, I'm pretty sure that the dentist will not be able to work on me. So I'm being very extremely careful about where I am in the public, because I have a month to go and I would like to get this dental work done. This dental work initially started back in started in October of 2019, but I've still yet to get my teeth completely fixed. So this started almost a year ago. And so there is, I do have some trepidation about acquiring the COVID-19 before I can actually go to Cancun to get my dental work completed. So I'm being very, very careful about who and what I expose myself to in order that I can get my dental work completed. Hello, everyone, and welcome to week 4 in the fall session 2 for graduate school. So we're going to pick up where we left off from the first bit of the episode and start talking about grades again. So I'm taking two courses, and surprisingly or unsurprisingly, the course I had mentioned the first time that I had missed a quiz and turned in some substandard work, I'm actually failing the course. It looks like now I'm on the verge of breaking even so I can pass the course. And I anticipate that by the end of the year I will pass the course, but it will not be with a good grade. And that's okay, because I'm not really focused on grades, but I should be focused on doing my best. And so when I analyzed what was going on, the reason why I was so unfocused, and I really was unfocused, I wasn't turning in work on time, I wasn't giving my best effort, wasn't doing the research, not reading the grading rubrics, really just kind of half stepping through the course. And I should have been more aware, because this is the first semester where I actually have the two courses. The most they recommend is two courses at any one time, because the courses are very intensive. They're 7-week intensive courses. However, I wasn't focused. And the reason I wasn't focused is because I was really focused on the dating business, international dating business. I really spent a lot of time either talking to people, looking at profiles, or chatting, or working on my Spanish. And so I was doing really poorly in graduate school. I've since turned that around. I'm much more focused now. I have a specific day and time when I'm at my computer. I generally try to get all my reading done for one course each day. So I pick a Monday and Tuesday. I try to get the reading done for one course on Monday and the reading done for the other course on Tuesday. And for both courses, there is a discussion submission that is required to be submitted by Wednesday at midnight. So the goal for reading everything on Monday and Tuesday is that I'm prepared to actually get the discussion submission or discussion project in and ready for comment by my student peers by Wednesday night. And then we have until Friday to comment on two other discussion questions other than the one we submit. So that's where we are with graduate school. It has been a challenge for me really to kind of get myself refocused and recommitted to sitting down and actually taking school seriously again. And it's turning out, obviously, that the work I submitted as an undergraduate is not really on par or on the graduate level for the work I need to submit now. So it's not that I can't do the work, it's really that I need to spend the energy and focus and improve the quality of work that I'm putting out. So that's what we're doing, and my anticipation is that by the end of the fall semester two, my grades should be back up, definitely passing. I'm not so much focused on getting A's as I am really on learning material that I could apply to my business. But I'm certainly not in this program to be failing courses. All right. So the next thing we're going to talk about is we're going to talk again about the dental tourism. So as I mentioned, I'm scheduled to travel to Cancun on 12/13 through 12/20 for my dental tourism visit. As I mentioned previously, I have two crowns that need to be implanted over two implants. And then I have a third implant that would need to be done during my visit. I spoke to the scheduler for the dental office, and he referenced that generally they ask people to try to stay in town or near the dental site for 1 week. It gives them time to, one, check the work that they've done and kind of monitor the swelling. It also allows them sufficient time to do the crowns and make sure everything proceeds as anticipated. Now, they do guarantee all their work, but of course the problem is you would have to get back to Cancun for them to either correct whatever was needed correcting or fixing anything that was done improperly. Again, they do guarantee the work, you just would have to get back there. Now, the caveat to that is that if you have any dentist outside of their organization either do repair or some fix or just address any issue, then the guarantee for the dental work is invalidated, which you would expect, but that's kind of where we stand. And so that's really why they push their patients to stay at least 1 week near the dental office so they have sufficient time to look and address it. Now, strangely enough, I've had some people talk to me about the fear of getting COVID from Mexico. And here's kind of the big, I guess, 411 if you weren't aware. One of the worst countries in the world for the spread and poor management of the COVID outbreak is the U.S. So U.S. is actually worse than Mexico. Mexico, as preventative measures, they have some type of, when you enter an establishment, they have a foot spray that you have to step into some type of chemical bath. Then they, of course, spray your hands and they take your temperature. And this is really to enter any indoor establishment in the country of Mexico, or at least in the major cities in Mexico. The U.S. has really no system that's equivalent to that. I think the only thing that they do in most U.S. institutions, if they do it at all, and this is usually done in hospitals or some type of care provider, is they will take your a topical temperature with hands-off thermometer where they really scan the surface of your skin and give you temperature. So in a nutshell, if you have fears of COVID, contacting COVID, your fears are more warranted being in the United States than traveling outside of the United States where they have managed it much better. I was following a blogger who's stationed in Mérida, Mexico. And he was reading some information from the president of Mexico. in reference to there is a spike. There's a spike all over the world, but not as bad as the U.S. So in a nutshell, what he was saying is that there will be no second lockdown. Fortunately or unfortunately, the U.S. is in a position that they can lock down and provide resources to either people that are housebound or unemployed or disabled. But a lot of other countries do not have the luxury, do not have the financial resources to be able to provide adequate coverage for people who are either forced to stay in or forced to not go out in public or not work where they come in contact with the public. Many countries do not have that luxury. So in essence, if people do not work, they do not eat. So the president of Mexico has stated in a national statement that there will be no second lockdown for the people in Mexico related to the COVID-19 pandemic. In fact, he actually says he considers it very authoritarian for any form of government to mandate an official lockdown for their specific population, indicating that he thinks it's really a lack of respect that for the citizens, that the citizens cannot take the appropriate actions to mitigate the pandemic. Fortunately for Mexico, they do not have a similar situation where half of the population does not believe in the use of masks to stem the spread of COVID. So in general, most of that population follows their respective national healthcare guidelines, which will be equivalent to our CDC, and they do wear masks when they are out in public or attending some indoor event, whether that's a restaurant or school or work or whatever. That is the mandate. They also do practice social distancing. So all this to say that if the U.S. were a better manager of the COVID-19 situation, it's a very strong possibility that there would not even be a discussion about a second lockdown. But in the U.S., you take the bitter with the sweet. Part of the benefit of having a free society is you have people who have the right to decide whether they will participate in certain things or not, especially if those specific things are not mandated. And with the political climate here, we were able to turn a healthcare situation into a political situation. As I mentioned, I am a participant in the Moderna vaccine trial. Again, this is a double-blind placebo. This is a double-blind study with placebo and investigational drug. So you can be randomized to either one depending on the randomization scheme. I'm pretty sure that I got randomized to a placebo because I don't remember having any other side effects or in any shape or fashion, whether they were mild or moderate. I had no symptoms, so I'm pretty sure I got the placebo. So they released some of the interim data along with Pfizer. Pfizer released some of their interim data, and initially they said it was 90% effective. And then Moderna said, well, ours is 94% effective against the COVID-19 virus. And then Pfizer came back out and said, well, ours are actually 95% effective. It doesn't matter, irrespective. I think the effective level for the COVID-19 vaccine is actually 50% efficacy or effectiveness. So either way, both far in a way exceed the requirements for the FDA for an efficacious vaccine, with the ultimate purpose of bringing a particular investigational drug to the marketplace. Now, having said that, one of the problems with the Pfizer vaccine would have to be stored at minus 70 degrees Celsius or minus 90 degrees Fahrenheit, which according to the article is a subarctic temperature, which again, many institutions do not have the capability to store that medication at such a low temperature. Moderna, on the other hand, needs to be stored at minus 4 or minus 20 Fahrenheit, which is in line with other medications or vaccines that have to be stored frozen or at a very low temperature. The vaccine would have to be given twice. You know, get an initial shot and then you get a booster shot. So that's kind of the big issue with the Pfizer one, and we'll have to see how that shakes out. I don't know if it's going to be as big an issue in the US, even though some smaller institutions do not have freezers like that. But it certainly would be a bigger problem for some less industrialized nations who don't have the capacity to store the medication at that temperature. All right, so that is it for that. Let's talk about the dating scene. As I mentioned in the first part of this, I completed the first online international dating membership that expired like a month ago, and I'm on the second one, which, to be honest, I joined by mistake. But anyway, that expires on the 22nd. I will not re-up or renew my membership at the close of that. When it's done, it is done. Now, one thing I will say is I get a lot of contacts or messages from women around the world, and a great many from Ghana, which, again, like I mentioned in the previous podcast, has a very bad reputation for scamming, both dating, non-dating, all kind of scams. It's just kind of unfortunate. It's a nation, and I think some people say due to the high unemployment rate of young people, but it has a very, very bad reputation for scammers. So I don't even really respond to any message that I receive from women other than Colombia, because Colombia is where I'm going, so it doesn't make sense for me to really respond, or to maybe not respond, but carry on a conversation with the intent of meeting the person. So right now my focus is on Colombia, so that's really the only women that I kind of either send messages to or respond to messages that I get from them. Now, I'm going to talk briefly about kind of single males who are vlogging, who are doing a lot of travel. As I mentioned in the previous podcast, I was really impressed by some of these guys that are really kind of on the ground, meeting the locals, going to some foreign countries, and really trying to learn the culture and learn some of the ways of the people, and really just being open to travel and meeting people. Now, here's the problem with that. A lot of these vloggers are single guys. Many of the ones that I watch are black, but I'm sure there are white ones, there are Asian ones, I've seen Latino ones. They're all vlogging. And I really focus on Colombia, but I can't help but see the ones in the Philippines and Thailand and Cambodia and Vietnam. And I got to say one thing is, for most of these guys, they are just burning through women. They really are just burning through the women. They are really taking advantage of their financial situation to leverage intimacy, or for lack of a better term, sex with a lot of these women who are either what they call working girls, what we also AKA prostitutes, or they are really just taking advantage of women who are really trying to seek a better life and see them, or at least initially, as some type of vehicle out of poverty. And a lot of times, as we used to say in my neighborhood, they're just dogging them out. They're dogging them, no other way around it. They're just dogging the women out, and they just burning through the women and just creating horrible reputations around the world about the U.S., especially about the U.S. single men who travel. And it really is kind of a sexcapade. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about all the guys, because there are some guys who really travel for the culture, and they may travel to meet women. I got nothing against traveling to meet women. If your intentions are a little bit more honorable. But that's, we all big boys. We all kind of do our thing, and we suffer the consequences for our actions. Now, I had to really start thinking, if I was the kind of guy, if that's what I'm doing, I'm going to Colombia. No, it's not a third world country, and they have a very strong economy and one of the best healthcare systems in the world. So I think somewhere in the top 10 or top 15, certainly better than the US, which ends up in like the 37th or 38th, somewhere in the middle. And so it's not like I'm traveling to a country that's destitute. However, in all honesty, the US dollar is very strong in Colombia. So the way you would live here with, say, $30,000 is, you depending on where you are in the country, obviously. I happen to live in DC, so $30,000 won't get you a cardboard box here. But in some parts of the country, you can live comfortably. Well, in $30,000 in Colombia, with the exception probably of Bogota, which is the capital, and I think one of the, I think it's the economic capital of Latin America, you can live extremely well. I say all this to say that, yes, even in Colombia, men are traveling and using their U.S. dollars to take advantage of, in some cases of the women who want either a better life or, you know, they may be working girls. So they fall in all different kinds of categories. It's a spectrum. And so I had to ask myself if that's what I was doing. I mean, really, was I, in essence, going to Colombia to get women that I could not get in the U.S.? And you know what I mean by that. I mean, women that are kind of out of your league, that you really couldn't get here, that you can get there because of your economic situation. So when I started thinking, okay, how does that work in the U.S.? Is the U.S. so different? No, of course it's not different. Men leverage their jobs here, their titles, their assets, to seek a better companion. And usually when I mean better, better educated, more socially aware, a higher socioeconomic status, better education, better jobs. Out of all places, the U.S. is probably the place, I would say probably the number one ranked place in the world where men and women, people use their economic situation to leverage their opportunities with people who may or may not be in their socioeconomic status. And usually what I mean by that is they kind of marry up, right, versus marrying down. So I had to ask myself if that's what I'm doing in Colombia. Is that my purpose is to go there and really get a woman that I couldn't get in the U.S. just because economically I can afford to? And so when you start to do that, you need to look at yourself closely and accurately and make that determination. So I start evaluating myself, and here's what I come up with. So I'm 58. Fair shape, not great shape. I'm educated, have a BSN in nursing. I generally make six figures, over $100,000 a year when I'm working. I'm currently not because I'm in grad school. I own a home in Washington, D.C., and owned a condo on Capitol Hill. I have stock and mutual funds. I have a 401k. I'm clearly... It's kind of hard to talk about yourself without being boastful, but my fashion sense, I believe, is excellent. During my working career, I've only encountered two people that dress as well as myself. That would be Dr. Carol Reese at Inova Mount Vernon Hospital and the Prince, a.k.a. Robert Beverly, whom I work with at Health Service for Children with Special Needs in Washington, D.C. The only two men that I have ever physically encountered who I think consistently dress as well, if not better, than myself. As far as dancing, I've encountered very few people who dance salsa or Latin dances as well as I do. I'm not fancy, but I am very good. And I've been doing it for 20 years, so I should be. I have written a screenplay, TV series, didn't get picked up, but I still wrote it. I'm learning French. I learned a little bit of Italian, Portuguese. I was learning French until I switched to Spanish. And so I say this to say that really, when I look at myself, I don't think I'm going there because I'm looking for a woman that I can't get. Because I think really, if I put my mind to it, I can get the same quality woman in the U.S. But I just have never done it. That has never been my style to pursue women. I've always been made myself available. And then when the opportunity came along, you know, I would talk to them, and if they were interested, then that was fine. If they wasn't, then I'd just wait till the next one come along. So when analyzing myself, I don't think I am the person that's cornered to take advantage of my economic situation, because economically, I am in a very good situation here. And for me to find someone equivalent to my economic situation, educational situation, intellectual, cultural, I would be looking at somebody that's pretty hot. So there we go. So that's all I got to say about that. To view agenda, blogs, mail, travel. All right. So as I said, I did the analysis, and I love, and so the question is, well, why are you going to Latin America? Why are you going to Colombia specifically? And as I mentioned previously, I always wanted to go to Colombia about 25 to 30 years ago when Pablo he was out there running around. It just was not a place to go. So I had an interest, but then I just kind of lost track of it. I've love salsa, love Latin music. I've been doing it for 25 years, and I'm very, very good at it. And this is one of the few places that they love it as much as I do. Even though I don't speak Spanish, which I'm currently working on, they love it as much as I do, and I really do love Latin music and Latin culture and Latin food. So it just makes sense that I would want to go to Colombia. Now, the actual marrying and bringing somebody back, I don't know. I mean, I've had some relatives ask me if I'm really serious about going to Latin America and dragging a wife back, and my answer was, I don't know. I don't think so. There's a lot that would have to go into moving somebody from their home country here, and let alone if they have children, and I have a daughter who I live with part-time, so I'm certainly not going to drag somebody back and dump them in my daughter's lap. As typical in closing, we used to leave with a little haiku, but now since we're currently working on this Spanish tip, I'm going to leave you with a Spanish email that I sent to one of the ladies I was corresponding with, or just the way I was feeling during a conversation. And it goes a little something like this. Todos los días aprendo, poco a poco por la noche, olvido, y por la mañana, de nuevo aprendo, poco a poco. Every day I learn, little by little. At night I forget, and in the morning I learn, little by little.